So today's a real practical one. It's called Praying in Five Dimensions. Now that might sound like it's not a really practical one. It might sound like it's a bit kind of sci-fi, a bit kind of like out of this world. But prayer is out of this world.
Yeah.
And there's an encouragement within it that actually prayer takes you out of the things that you can see. Prayer takes you out of this physical moment, almost the physical reality. It takes you beyond what you can see. It takes you into spiritual realms that you can't even dream, imagine, even think of existing. It takes you into the Father's presence. So good. So there is more than just it being called five dimensions because there's 5 points. There's five dimensions because it does take you out of this world. God is beyond what you can see in the physical. He's beyond what the globe is. He's beyond what the cosmos is. He's beyond what we know and see. But this is a really practical series, a really practical preach on praying to God in five dimensions. And I'm just going to go through them. This is new to me, okay? So this type of praying, I came to this thinking, I actually have a model that I use for my prayer life. If I want to have an extended time of prayer, I use the Lord's Prayer, and I use each line, and I go through each line and pray, expand it a bit. That's how I shape my prayer life normally. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to have a change. It's always healthy and good to have a change. So I listened to what Rick had to teach about it, and I thought, I'm going to try it. I'm only going to preach today, right, if you're going to try it. I'm not joking. I need a promise from you that you're going to try this at least once this week. Noetta's in. Anyone else in?
Yeah?
Yeah, good. I have the majority, I think. So this is just going to be a bit of my journey about how I've gone and taken on this model. So please, be with me on it. The first dimension. I look backward to the cross. This is about learning to start prayer with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's quite hard. Sometimes you can come to the place of the, I'm going to pray. Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, I need to thank God for something. And sometimes I can come and I'm in a difficult place and I can think, actually, I don't know what to thank God for in this moment. Let's just be real. Sometimes I don't know in the physical what I'm thanking God for in that moment. So what I encourage you to do, and what Rick and this model encourages you to do, is to look to the cross. Because if you know salvation, if you have had Jesus revealed to you on the cross, if you know that he has been nailed to the cross for you, if there has been a moment in your life when you have gone, Jesus has died on a cross for me and I accept your salvation, there's always something to thank Jesus about. There's always a place to be thankful about. There's always something that starts there. And yesterday I was praying and just thinking about Jesus. And I was thinking that Jesus is the one that spoke this whole world into motion. I was thinking that Jesus has never not existed. I was thinking that before I was born, before this world was born, Jesus was born. No, Jesus wasn't born. He existed. You see, the language is difficult. Because I can't... The whole of... Always, beginning to end, Jesus. Think about that. It's amazing. It's incredible. And Jesus is the one who every knee and every tongue will confess to at the end of time. Jesus is the one where every tribe and every nation across the whole globe will come to and bow the knee. Jesus is the one who is on the throne. Jesus is the one ruling and reigning over all things. Jesus is the one who will receive praise for all eternity. We will sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We'll worship the Lamb who is on the throne. We'll worship the one who is the creator and maker of us and everything. And then I read these verses as I looked to the cross. Jesus is mocked. Then the soldiers of the governor, this is during Jesus' time on earth as he was taken to the cross. The soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters and they gathered the whole battalion before him and they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him. When they mocked him, they stripped him of the robe. They put his own bloody clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. That Jesus, who is the maker of all things, that Jesus, who is going to be worshipped, came down to this earth to die on a cross, to be mocked by the ones that he created, all for me. That moment happened. The creator, the one who's above all things, who could have stopped it in a moment, who could have shouted, he could have just called the Father down. He could have called legions of angels. He could have called it down to stop that moment happening. And yet he took it for me. He took that mockery of people who created for me. If that doesn't bring praise and thanks to you, I don't know what will. If that doesn't get you in a place of thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for taking my sin. Thank you for taking my weakness. Thank you for bringing healing, restoration, and salvation into my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So start by looking backwards to the cross. This is a real event that happened. Jesus died on a cross for you because he loves you so much. Jesus took mockery and scorning because he loves you so much. Thank you, Jesus. When I stood up here, Duncan asked me if I was feeling cold. And I imagine that's because I've got my jacket on today. Do I look like I feel cold? I'm wearing this jacket because it's another thing that helps me to remain thankful. Most people know that I don't really dress in designer gear. This is kind of I think Leon says that I've got shabby, what is it, tramp chic, as a look normally, which is always encouraging. But this jacket doesn't suit that image, right? I often get compliments on this jacket. I often get, if I walk around, people are like, "Oh, you're wearing a nice coat today. Oh, it's nice." Obviously stands out from the rest of my wardrobe. It was given to me as a gift from someone who is very special to me. She's a friend who I know doesn't have a lot of money, and she wanted to give me a gift to honor me. And so when I wear this jacket, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. It reminds me to be thankful. It reminds me to be thankful. Have you got things in your life that remind you to be thankful? Have you got things that you wear into a workplace or into at your home or anywhere that remind you to be thankful? Every time I put this jacket on, every time someone comments on it, it reminds me to be thankful. Thank you, God, that you've put good people in my life that love me. Thank you, God, that you've put good people around me that will give good things to me. Thank you, God. And as I took this coat off, and I'm going to take it off because it's quite warm now. it's reversible, and I don't wear it the other way.
Check you.
I don't often wear it the other way. Thanks, Jules. But as I took it off the other day after coming in, after praying, I noticed that I had a number 4 on it. I've just bought a house, which is number 4, Endersbury Road. I don't even know my own address yet. But it's the first time, it's one of the big answers to prayer that I've seen in my life recently. God has allowed me to own my own house. What a good gift that is. And I took it off and I saw number 4 and I was like, thank you, God, for this house. As I walked into it, thank you, God. It's a bit of a shell right now, but thank you, God, for this house. Give me strength to make it better. But thankfulness, that's where we need to begin. And we begin that by looking back at the cross of Jesus. My second point, I need to speed up a bit. Thanks, Lola. It's Father's Day, I want to get home for lunch. The second dimension. I look up to my Father's face. Let's just read Romans 8. Romans 8, and it's verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Thanks. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are the sons of the Most High God. This is about coming into the presence of your Father. It's about saying Abba. Abba means, it means daddy. I don't often refer to God as daddy, unlike Jules, but there's something very simple about it. It's just a simple language. It's not difficult to say daddy. It's one of the first words children often say. I'm reminded of a story of a guy who was on an Alpha course, and he said he'd never prayed before, and he was a Cockney geezer. And he didn't know how to pray. So he just went, oh, God, if it's you, if you're real, then you need to speak to me. That week on an Alpha course, there was a prophetic team at the Alpha course, and someone had a word for him, and he bore it from the front, and he said, listen, this is going to sound really stupid, but all right, mate. Quite brave to bring a word like that. He had nothing else. He was asking God for more. He had nothing else. That's all he had to bring. But that spoke into that man's life, you know? You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be wise. You don't have to be, you know, all the words in all the Bible. You don't have to know all the restoration, transformation language. You don't need to know it. You just need to know that you have a Father in heaven who loves you and adores you and wants you in his presence. You just need to know that you have a Father that will hold you by the hand and lead you down the road. You just need to know that you have a Father that you are secure in. You need to know that you have a Father who is competent to look after your needs. You know that you have a Father who has brought you into his presence and will never let go. He's brought you into his house, the Father's house, where you will dwell forever. You have a Father who loves you. And it's all good. And this is what Father has been speaking to me about recently, because I love getting prophetic words from people. Thank you for bringing a prophetic word. But Father has been speaking to me recently and saying, do you know my voice? Or are you just seeking other people to tell you my voice? Let me encourage you, as you get into this prayer time, learn to hear your Father's affirmation. Learn to hear him. Learn to hear him speaking over you with great joy and delight, because he sings with delight over you.
Amen.
Don't get your affirmation from world. Don't get your affirmation from other people. Get it from the Father, and he will speak to you. As you spend time with him, allow him in this part of your prayer, allow him to speak to you, because he will.
Amen.
He'll give you pictures of him leading you on, of him open arms welcoming you in. He'll give you images. He'll speak to you. Learn to hear your Father's voice. He will affirm you. He loves and adores you. You are adopted forever into his kingdom, into his family. The third dimension. I look inward to the Holy Spirit living inside of me. These verses in Romans that I read before, if you live according to the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons. The Bible teaches that when we accept Jesus as our Saviour, when we accept that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, he places his Holy Spirit inside of us as a seal of our adoption.
Amen.
But that means that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. I tell you why this model is so good, just as an aside here. Because any prayer model that begins with worshipping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
come
It's going to be powerful. You're going to have a powerful encounter. But the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. He comes and reigns in your heart. This is a moment in prayer where you have to be a bit real with God. Because if he's living inside of me, there's nothing that I can hide from him. If he knows my innermost thoughts, if he knows my innermost feelings, if he knows my fears and my anxieties, if he knows my failings and my sins, if he knows all there is to know about me, then I have to be real with him. I can't hide that. And so as you walk out this point, allow this point to be a point of, do you know what? Jesus, I am sorry for my failings. I'm sorry for where I didn't trust you. I'm sorry for this. But then Galatians teaches us. So Galatians 5 teaches us. This is about the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, gentleness. Against such thing there is no law. As we are honest with God, as we talk through our struggles, our desires with God, he is empowering us and walking that with us. He is the God that joins us on that journey. He's the God that lives inside of us as we walk these things out. As we walk out the fears that we have, as we walk out the anxieties that we have, as we walk out the emotions, the depression that we have, as we walk that with God, do you know he never leaves you? He never forsakes you. He walks it with you. He walks inside of you. He lives inside of you. Allow this to be a time in your prayer where you're like, you know what, God, I need to be honest with you about these things. You need to battle through some things. You need to fight and argue and be honest and shout. Let me advise you to be in a place where you feel like you can shout. Amen. Sometimes you just need to shout. But as you do these things, as you're honest with God, as you're open with God, as you're vulnerable with him, he does beautiful things in you. And he gives you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and even self-control. Think about that. Self-control. He gives me self-control. That sounds like something that it should come from me. I should be self-controlled. It's not. It's a fruit of the Spirit. As you encounter the Spirit, as you live in the Spirit, as you allow him to have access and be vulnerable, self-control is a gift from God. It's a fruit of you living in that relationship with God, walking out that. The fourth dimension. I look around and ask God to use me. Matthew 6:10, and this is from the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I was walking, and the first time I did this Monday night, I was walking around some fields in Barnet, and God took me to a field that I hadn't been to before. I've not lived in High Barnet that long, but he took me to a field, and in that field was a field of, I'm going to say wheat. If you're farmers, it's probably not wheat. I don't know what they grow around here, but I'm going to call it wheat.
And we're going to believe you.
And you're going to believe me in faith. And so is the farmer, because it's probably worth more than whatever he grows in Barnet. But I saw a field of wheat in front of me. And there was reed after reed after reed after reed after reed. Numbers that I couldn't count, that I just looked over. And each of them had all these seeds on the top, which is the wheat, I think. They have all that. And I was taken to the verse where God says, It's in Matthew 9. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest." And God started speaking to me and saying, "Do you believe that I still look on compassion? Do you believe that I still want my kingdom to come? Do you believe that these countless people, these countless things that you see in front of you, do you believe that I want my kingdom to come amidst them? Do you believe that I have called you to be a kingdom bringer? Do you believe that you are a kingdom bringer?" Let's ask that question now. Do you believe that you have got the kingdom inside of you and that you are called to bring the kingdom of God in? If you answer yes, start asking the question, what does the kingdom look like? What does it look like in your situation? What does it look like bringing the kingdom into your workplace? What does it look like bringing the kingdom of God into the family that you have? And I started praying, and I, in honesty, I needed God to inspire me with faith. Because I don't know if God can do that. Look at all those people around me. Look at all those sheaves of wheat. Can God do that? Will God do that? Yes. Yes, he will. In faith, he will. As we look out. But this is the challenge. In this moment, as you start to pray, ask God to give you pictures of people. Ask God to bring people to your heart, to your mind. Ask, and then start praying for them. Pray that God's kingdom would come. Pray, what is it that person needs? That is it salvation? Is it that they don't know you yet? Is it that they need healing? Is it that they need restoration? Is it that they're going through a tough time and they need God to break out? Is it that they need provision? Is it that they need peace to come in their life? Is it that they need their anxiety and depression to go? Is it that they need stillness? Is it that they need, a new house? What is it that God wants to do in their lives? What is it that they're calling out for and needing? And then just pray into them those things. But as you pray for each one, ask God for one small thing that you can do in their life. Just ask God for one small thing. How can I bring the kingdom into that person's life? I think this is what the feeding of the 5,000 teaches. God calls us to do the small things. You look at the story and Jesus tells the disciples step by step what to do. And as they do step by step, God does the big thing. And everyone gets fed from all that small bread. As you do the small things, as you step by step by step, as you listen to the Father speaks to you and you do, then you start to see a miracle break out in your midst. And sometimes that will be praying for people. Sometimes that will just be giving a kind word to someone. Sometimes that will be, blessing them financially. Sometimes that will be writing a card. That's sometimes something God's really stirring on me at the moment, actually, to write cards and send them to people. But are you being obedient, even when it sounds silly? That person who got the prophetic word, when he brought it to that man, it sounded ridiculous. He did it because obedience brings a miracle about. Are you being obedient to the things that God is speaking to you in these moments? Because as we do that as a church, we're not separate from this field either. We're in amongst the field. We're in the field. We're in the harvest. We're there. In and amongst people. All around us. Bustling. And we're there to bring the kingdom of God. The fifth dimension. And final one. I look forward to my future in faith. I am confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There will be hardship along this road. There will be pain. There will be tears. One of the most beautiful things, I don't know if I've shared it previously, that I've heard recently was when Hudson Taylor's wife died, and he had he was upset, but his response was, actually, you know what, I'm going to feel pain in this, but I know that one day I will go to heaven and Jesus will wipe away every tear. And I don't want to live a life now where Jesus has got no tears to wipe away. He was so consumed with the future and what God had. He was so consumed, not that he didn't do the practical on the ground stuff, but he knew there was a future ahead of him, a good future, a salvation. When Jesus was going to return, he knew. But I think caught up in the midst of this is, what has God called you to? What has God specifically commissioned you to? Has he commissioned you to do special things for him? Has he commissioned you to think big for him? Has he commissioned you to do small things for him? He reminded me of a vision that he gave me. My heart's desire is that I would train people up, that I would see them saved, and that I would train them up, and that they would go back into the field of wheat, and that we would see a revival. That's my heart. That's what I want God to use me for. Now, that's not going to be everyone's dream. That's not going to be everyone's passion. But God has also put me in the workplace, working in homelessness. And God said, you know what, you can train your staff to be kingdom bringers. Even if they don't know they're bringing the kingdom, you can train them to be kingdom bringers. Do you believe the dreams that God has put inside of you? Do you believe that they're possible? All things are possible with God. All things are possible. What has God placed inside of you? What dream and desire that you want to see come to pass? And now let me ask you a question. To those in here who think, I've been praying for that dream for a long time, are you still looking forward to your future in faith? Are you still believing for the things that are unseen, the unseen realities? Have you got the faith to rise up and to pray into those things again? Amen. So the five dimensions. You look backwards to the cross and you get thankful. You look upward to the Father and you get your affirmation. You get your identity. Amen. You look inward and you get your transformation. The Holy Spirit works inside of you. You look outward and you see revival come. You look forward and you remain in a place of faithful hope, eager expectation. Eager expectation. Do you know that the world is waiting for the children of God to be revealed? The world is waiting for you to believe the things that God has said, to do the things that God has said. The world is waiting for you. Let me encourage you this week. Take hold of this model. Take hold of it and go through these steps and steps. It's not, and what you'll find actually is you'll find you'll go through one step, two steps, three, four steps, and then you'll go back to one step. You know, you'll get caught up because as you're praying for something, you'll be thankful and you'll go back to that point. It's not a kind of one, two, three, four, five. It's just a model of getting caught up in prayer, caught up in calling on the Father of all things to come in power on our land. I'm going to end there, but if I could just ask you to stand. Father, I thank you that you have caught us up in your kingdom. I thank you that we are your kingdom bringers. I thank you that we are your sons, your daughters. I thank you that you've adopted us, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you've paid the price on that cross. I thank you that you put worship in our hearts. And I pray that you would use us, King Jesus, to bring your kingdom. Use us to bring your revival in this land, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would raise faith in us, Lord Jesus, that as we pray, your kingdom will come. As we pray, salvation will come. As we pray, hope and restoration will come. As we pray, transformation will come. We cry out, come, King Jesus. Come, King Jesus.